the Business on RTE Radio 1 with AIB. You see it, we help you do it. AIB, for the life you're after.
But first, we're joined by Mary Robinson. COP29, the UN's climate change conference, began on Monday in Baku, Azerbaijan. In just a few short days, it was mired in controversy and labelled a farce. Mary Robinson is among a group of 22 signatories who have written an open letter to the UN declaring that COP is no longer fit for purpose. Mary, why exactly did you write this letter?
Well, the letter which I wrote with a number of others is very much in support of a more effective COP. We're not negative about the conference on parties that happens every year. What we say is it's just not fit for purpose at the moment because there are too many oil and gas lobbyists there, because it has to operate by a kind of consensus that means that decisions are not taken or taken very much at the last minute and are very weak. The timing may have been a little bit unhappy because other things had happened as well. We know that the election in the United States is probably not good for the United States participating in climate discussions under President Trump. And we know that Argentina pulled out and now France, for its own reasons, is not attending. So I think that's why the letter got slightly mixed up in this. But the letter is very positive about wanting a stronger COP, not a weaker COP.
But it feels like it's unravelling, because one report suggested that as many as 1,700 oil, coal and gas lobbyists were attending. Have they ended up hijacking it?
Well, to some extent, that also happened last year at the UAE, but we still made progress. This COP is very important because it's about finance. And it's a COP that recognises that developing countries need at least $1 trillion per year to deliver on the Paris Agreement. To put that $1 trillion of climate finance in perspective, it represents just 1% of the world's GDP. And indeed, during COVID, developed countries managed to find $10 trillion very quickly. So the money is there if you want to find it. And we have got now proposals of how that money would be available. And the good news announced during COP was that the World Bank and other multilateral banks have come up with a bigger figure of public finance, up to $120 billion from about $25 billion a year. So that's already good news in this COP that is, subject to a lot of controversy at the moment. But believe me, we have to make do with what we have, but we have to try to improve it.
Definitely, the costs associated with the climate change challenges are enormous, and we can get to how they might be paid for. But isn't there a problem that one of the things that you and the co-signatories of the letter would like is that countries that are not serious about reducing and seriously reducing their fossil fuel dependence shouldn't really be there? And in many cases, some of them, perhaps even including a Trump United States, are the ones with all the money.
There are many ways in which we can increase. As I said already, it's good that the public finance is increased to $120 billion a year. We would like to see that further increased, but it shows that the multilateral banks are moving in the right direction. But, there are various proposals that are being talked about to make the polluters pay for the damage that they cause, which makes an awful lot of sense. And that can be windfall taxes. We can switch from the $2.6 trillion in subsidies for fossil fuel every year and move that on to environmentally good projects, projects that incentivize moving more rapidly to clean energy. We can have aviation tax, maritime tax. All of these are being discussed. And what we need now is countries to start to give a lead.
Donald Trump pulled out of the Paris Agreement before. He has pretty much said he's going to do it again. That is a real blow to the whole process, surely.
It's not as much of a blow this time, funnily enough, because we've been here before. And what happened? So many states, cities, business in the United States said, we are still in. There was a whole networking, and it will happen again. And, Inflation Reduction Act that President Biden brought in has allowed for a great incentivizing of clean energy in the United States. And where is it going to? A lot of it's going to red states like Texas. They're not going to give up on that. They know that the clean energy is cheaper now. It's much cheaper than coal and it's cheaper than gas.
Were you disappointed that Donald Trump won the election?
Well, it's up to the American people who they elect, but obviously it's not good for the world.
There is definitely a whole shift to the right. And given your own political track record in Ireland and the presidential election and everything that you won, what do you make of the fact that so many women have voted for Donald Trump?
Well, as I say, it's up to, you know, people, including women in the United States, what they do. I think there was a lot of misinformation, disinformation. I think that Elon Musk, with his very powerful algorithms that he switched to make himself more powerful and played on, you know, dividing men and women. But obviously, some women continued to vote for President Trump. That's clear. The whole election was, to me, you know, an election that was about disinformation to such a degree that it was hard to believe. Lies and further lies, including lies about climate, a complete denial of climate. You can't argue or, you know, negotiate with science and nature. They're inevitable and they're happening. People can't insure their homes in parts of the United States, including in Florida, because of the damage that has been caused by the very thing they're denying.
So much of the political discourse, particularly in the United States, has been around dismissing woke and things being too woke. And from a climate change perspective, climate change has been very much lumped in with this idea of being woke. So it gets caught in the backlash. How serious a challenge do you think is that?
I think these are, again, arguments that are being made from a very right-wing perspective. And they don't, you know, they don't tally with reality. I work a lot with companies. I'm a part of the B team of business leaders. And the B team is a strong supporter of ESG, as it's called, economic, social and governance for companies. And companies that adopt ESG do better. So come on. You know, this is populist nonsense. All this talk about woke is a way of, you know, trying to use populist terms to try to undermine the kind of progress that we desperately need.
When you look at the financial cost of the climate change crisis and trying to deal with that, definitely everybody can identify the cost. There's a role and a cost for government. There's a role and a cost for corporations. And there's also a big cost for households and consumers and the things that they might need to do and have to do. And then finance plays a part in all of that. Where can all of this money come from?
Yeah, finance plays a vital part in all of it. And what we have to do, as I said, is stop subsidizing what is harming us, which is fossil fuel subsidies. You know, ask yourself, why is it cheaper to fly in Europe than to go by train? Because airlines are subsidized. We are on the cusp of a wonderful world, which is a renewable energy powered, much fairer, much healthier world, which will have a circular economy, which will we get rid of the pollution that is killing so many, including here in Ireland. And we have a much fairer world because it will allow developing countries, where most of the investment has to be now in developing renewable energy, take the 900 million women in Africa who still cook on dirty cooking, on coal and animal dung and wood and despoiled trees, and give them electricity. In the 21st century, it's ridiculous that we don't have electricity for everybody and Wi-Fi for everybody. You know, that's what we should have, but it isn't.
But inevitably, in order to get to what you describe as that better world, there needs to be some kind of level of consensus internationally, globally, about that is the desired end result. And that consensus, insofar as it existed and through the likes of the COP process, seems to be failing away. Some of the momentum, some of the oxygen seems to be going out.
That consensus is strong and getting stronger and stronger with all of the developing countries. They're all feeling more the impact of a climate because it affected them earlier and they're not responsible for it.
But they don't have the money. They need the money from the other countries.
Yeah, I know. But Muhammad Yunus of Bangladesh, who's the acting prime minister, whom I know very well, he made a very good point. Why are these poor countries needing to beg for the money to help them to, to withstand the impacts of climate, not caused by them, but caused by the rich world. I mean, look at the unfairness of all of this. We need to concentrate on getting as good a framework as we can in COP29. I believe we will get a much better framework. I hope it will recognize that we need $1 trillion a year. And that most of that would be spent in emerging markets and developing countries to help them to go into clean energy very fast. Because I follow the science, I follow it very closely, and I know that climate scientists are almost tearing their hair out with worry. Everything is happening faster, as you probably know. So we cannot afford this kind of loose talk about, woke and all of this sort of thing. We need to concentrate on working together to secure a livable world. It's as serious as that. And we need to work very hard at it.
This particular COP has been so badly damaged, and particularly even by the president of the host nation of Azerbaijan, when he said that fossil fuels were a gift from God. Do you really think that something strong or credible can come out of it?
I think we have to work very hard to make sure it does. And I noticed that Eamon Ryan rightly said that the sun and wind are also real gifts from God. And I think we have to get it across to the fossil fuel world. I know they're not going to change voluntarily. We've tried. We've tried to say they caused the problem. Surely they would help us to get out of it, because they know and have known, like the tobacco industry knew. They know it's harming us. But they're not going to do it voluntarily. So we have to try to ensure that we switch the money as rapidly as possible. That's the, a carbon tax globally, anything that we can do to make sure that we secure enough financing to move more rapidly. Because the good news is we are moving towards this much better world.
You've emphasized the importance of science and of nature, and they are irrefutable. If you had Donald Trump sitting in front of you at a meeting, what would you say to him?
I think if we were sitting in a room with him and could talk to him as seriously as we would about the utter harm that is being caused by the fact that we're coming out of safe ecosystems of our world, and that this is something that scientists are telling us over and over again. I think if he saw the graphs of it, and then if he saw the graphs of the amount being paid in damages now caused by hurricanes, caused by flooding, caused by severe drought, and then the likelihood of more movement of people, he's not going to be able to keep people out because they're not going to be able to live in parts of the world that are too hot, or where the small island states have gone under, or whatever caused it. People will move.
Do you think he's open to being convinced on those things?
Well, as I say, we never give up. But the point is, I've learned over my time, you don't get perfection at these large conferences, but you work hard to get the best possible result. And I'll be very vocal when I get to, I'm travelling there on Monday, and that's because ministers are going to be there. It's the ministers who take decisions, not the negotiators. But I believe the COP will come together in the ministerial session and will adopt a framework. And I hope it will acknowledge that we need the $1 trillion for developing countries, and how we and propose how we will get that in various taxes.
Mary Robinson, thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Richard.
And Mary Robinson will be a headline speaker alongside entrepreneur and actor Edward Norton at the 8th annual AIB Sustainability Conference on Monday, the 25th of November.